Shalom, brothers and sisters. Very happy to be back here.
Amen.
To share the word of God.
Amen.
And let's bow our hearts.
Amen.
We thank you, our gracious Father in heaven.
Amen.
Father, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to praise and bless you, Father.
Amen.
To share your word, Lord God. Father, we confess that we need your Holy Spirit, Lord God,
Amen.
To know, to understand, to comprehend your word, Lord God.
Amen.
Father, we offer, we submit to you our sharing, Bar Shedra, Bar Zoel, and me, Lord God.
Amen.
May you fill our hearts,
Amen.
Lord God, that we may glorify you.
Amen.
With our words, with our deeds, Lord God. Father, enlighten us. Open our eyes, our spiritual ears, Lord God. As we dig deeper into your word, Lord. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy. And we all ask this. In Jesus Christ's name, our Savior.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless everyone. Really excited about this day when Bar Pratsy told me last Sunday that you can share next Sunday. So I was so excited, and the first thing that comes in mind was Philippians. That's the first thing. When Bert Spratty told me, Bert, can you share next Sunday? I said, yes. And that's what I'm going to share to you this morning. Philippians chapter 3. Let's open our Bible. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 11, Joshua will read.
Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe.
Amen.
Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ.
Amen.
Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith.
Amen.
That I may know him, and power, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord, for your word. When I was studying this, Philippians 3, there's so much joy in Paul's heart. That's the main theme, is about the joy of the Lord. Right? The first thing that he said, right? My brethren, rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
And this is his exhortation. This is very significant for you and me, brothers and sisters. Because we know Paul was writing this in a Roman prison. Right? A prisoner exhorting us to rejoice in the Lord. Right? I mean, do we have joy? Right? Brother Shadrach mentioned this, right? Last Friday. Fruit of the Spirit. Specifically the second one. Love, joy. Right? I mean, if someone will ask you and me, do you have the joy in the Lord? Right? Can someone steal your joy? Right? Because of your circumstances, your situation, your work, right? Are you overworked? Or your colleagues? Maybe chronic pain, sickness, right? Or any other things that you can think of, right? Do you have joy stealer? Right? If someone can steal our joy, Paul will have a problem with us. He will definitely have a problem with you and me. Right? And again, I was so excited when Brother Shadrach, ending his message last Friday. My kids know this. My wife know this. When Brother Shadrach mentioned 2 Corinthians 11, I told them, wow, we're using the same passage. He's going to end his message with 2 Corinthians 11. Brother, correct me if I'm wrong. That's what I heard. 2 Corinthians 11. And I'm going to start my sharing with 2 Corinthians 11. So, that's why I'm so happy. I thank the Lord for working in us and through us. Right? So again, Paul will have a problem with us if we have a joy stealer in our lives. Right? Why? Let's read again. Okay? Take note of the word again. Let's read again. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 28. And look, the life of Paul.
2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 28. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prisons, more frequent in depths of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in colds and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches.
Amen. Right? After reading that, brothers and sisters, you look at the life of Paul. What he had been through, right? And up to this time, when he was writing this letter, he was chained to a Roman soldier and exhorting us, rejoice in the Lord. Right? I mean, he emphasized the joy in the Lord in this letter so much that he wrote the word joy, rejoice, rejoicing, in this letter alone 14 times. Just to emphasize how important our joy in the Lord. Because our joy is a byproduct of our relationship with God. It's not dependent on our circumstances. Right? The people around us. That's why this exhortation was very significant for me. Because of what he has been through in his life. Until he's in the prison, he's still exhorting us to have that joy. Don't let anyone or anything in our lives steal that joy in the Lord.
Amen.
You have to guard it.
Amen.
That's why Paul wrote this letter. Right? And if you're going to look at the second part of the first verse, right? Finally, right? Although Paul is not saying that this is the end of his letter, right? It's only halfway, right? The Greek here means furthermore also, meaning transition to another topic. Right? It's not the sum up of his letter. So finally, furthermore, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Right? To write the same thing to you. Right? To write the same thing to you. I'm writing the same thing again. Right? This is in Philippi. Right? We know that from Acts' second missionary journey, right? He went to Philippi, right? He established a church. And we know that he taught them a lot of things, right? That's why Paul said, to write the same thing to you. It's not a problem with me. There's no issue. Paul is not sorry about writing them again with the same thing. It's about repetition, right? And look what he said at the last part. It is safe for you and me.
Amen.
In doing this. To write same thing again and again and again.
Amen.
Right? I don't know if you remember Brother Gunn preached this letter to the Philippians. I remember that. That's why I asked Sister Cora, can you please check when Brother Gunn preached this? He preached this 4 years ago, 2021. The whole book, 1-4, right? And now I am sharing it again, right? Maybe you went to a church, right, and then heard someone speaking a passage, right, and then that's passage again. I know that already. I heard that many times. I read that many times. That passage again. Or maybe you're reading the Bible, right? I'm guilty of that. When I can read before, right? So, you're skipping, right? I skip. Matthew 13. All the seven parables. I know that. Skip 14. I know that. I'm now in Matthew 28. Finish. Skipping everything. Right? We have that approach. Right? We're all guilty with that approach. Number one. Right? But Paul did not take that approach. Right? Did you see that? I write the same thing. And there's not a problem. I am not sorry. I don't make any apology of writing you the same thing. Why? Because it is safe for you and me. The repetition of Scripture, that's safety for you and me. Right? I mean, Peter, right? Peter had the same idea about this. Right? Second Peter. Let's go to Second Peter. Chapter 1, verse 13 to 15. 2 Peter 1, verses 13 to 15.
2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle,
mm-hmm.
to stir you up by putting you in remembrance,
mm-hmm.
knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle,
mm-hmm.
even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shewed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able to after my decease to have these things always in remembrance.
Amen. Right? Repetition and safety. Right? So what's Peter's telling us? I'm stirring you up to remembrance, to remembering. Right? Even though when I departed, right, you can recall all the things that I've mentioned, all the instruction that I have given you, because it is safe for you and me. Right? So let's restrict ourselves in that temptation, right? To skip passages. Why? Of course, Peter and Paul were not saying this, right? Because they ran out of sermon materials, right? Oh, I don't have anything to say. I think I can say the previous one, right? No. Why? Because the instructions of God's word are so important that it can save, it can literally save our lives, brothers and sisters. Repetitions, right? Again, I'm going to repeat. I've shared this so many times, right? That I have some experience in teaching, right? And as a teacher in the Philippines, in one of the universities there, it's very important to repeat topics so that they could recall things, right? I think I told you that I was teaching chemistry. Who likes chemistry here? I don't think someone is raising their hands, right? So, yeah, right? I don't even want chemistry when I was in high school, to tell you frankly. I hate chemistry when I was high school. Now Elijah's taking chemistry, and he doesn't like it. And his dad used to teach one, right? I mean, it's hard, chemistry, right? So, you know my first student? Was Sister Cora. When we were 17, is that a song? I was 17, right? So when we were 17, we're classmates, right? She trusted me to teach her math. No? She was my first student. No? And then, of course, the guy beside me, second student, and then Anna, and then Elijah, and then thousands of students because of my teaching career. And repetition is very important. Right? I mean, based on experience, just being a child, right? And your experience with your parents. How many times our parents told us something? So many times. Right? Is that right, Joshua? Did your dad tell you so many times, again and again and again? Right? I mean, we're used to that. But why? Because we're a creature of repetitions. Right? I mean, as a teacher, I did that. No? I mean, look at your YouTube account. When you're watching, right? Advertisement. Ads. Why do you think they flooded all our accounts with ads, right? Because they knew this principle in the Bible. From the Bible, right? Because they know if you haven't really heard it multiple times, you haven't really heard it. Amen. Right? So they will flood you with all these advertisements. Right? It's not just about repetitions, brothers and sisters. Hearing things over and over again. Right? It's also about hearing things when you're ready to hear them.
Amen.
Right? Does that ring a bell? Right? It's about hearing things when you're ready to hear them. I mean, you've read a passage, right? You know, the first time that I read the Bible, I don't know if you remember when I shared this, right? The first time I opened a Bible, when I was 21 years old, right? Of course, you don't know anything about the Bible, so open the Bible, Genesis 1, right? Of course, right? Genesis 1:1. Oh. In the beginning, God created heaven. Oh, you see, huh? Second verse. Oh, what's this? I don't know. What? I can't understand. Right? So when you read something, right? And it doesn't hit you, you just pass over it. Right? You just pass over it. I don't know how many times did I experience that. That I read a passage and then pass over it. Okay. Right? And then later on, right? During a particular time in your life, when you're going through hardship, pain, challenges, right? And you heard that the same passage, right? And it hit you. You saw that in a different way.
Amen.
Right? That you want to, you know, a lifeline, right? A life verse, right? Now you want to embrace that passage.
Amen.
You want to cling on it.
Amen.
Right? You know how many times I read Romans, right? Romans 8. One of my life verses. Romans 8, verse 18. When I was reading this before, okay, yeah? How can you read it, Joshua? Romans 8, 18. I've been praying this. When I pray, I used to mention this. When I share, I used to mention this. I don't know if you noticed that. Right? Because it's very important to me. It's like a lifeline for me. For my hope, right? For my joy in the Lord.
Amen.
Please read Joshua.
Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
Amen.
Right? I mean, how many times a day? Read that. How many times did you read that? Right? That the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. That's nothing. It's temporary. Right? It's just temporary. Right? Let's focus on what's eternal. Right? Let's not focus on what is finite. Right? So that's why repetition of scripture is very important, brothers and sisters. That's what Paul and Peter are saying here, right? It's very important for you and me. It's safe for you and me that we'll always be reminded of the instructions of the Word of God by repetition, right? So next time, let's not skip, right? Okay, so let's read, right? I know it's hard. I know it's hard, right? When I was studying Leviticus, right? Try to meditate on Leviticus, right? First time reading it, you're going to skip, right? Because you're reading the same thing, right? But when you meditate and focus on them, you're going to realize the spiritual application pointing towards our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So, now Paul, right? So that's verse 1. Look at me. When we're reading Paul, right? When you're used to reading Paul's letter, you know when his tone is changing. Right? If you're going to look at verse 2, I don't know if you consider it harsh words, right? Three times he said, beware. Right? Beware. Beware of what? Beware of dogs. Okay. In the Philippines, there's a lot of that. Beware of dogs. I don't know if Brother Sherlock saw that in a gate. Usually in the Philippines, usually our house have compound and then you have it's gated, right? And there's a signage, beware of dogs, because we have a lot of dogs in our house, right? Paul said, beware of dogs. Mind you, he's talking about men, right? He's talking about men. Beware of dogs, right? And the people today will tell you, look at your Paul, right? Discrimination, right? Racist. Beware of dogs, right? Why? Because Paul is concerned about these people, this individual or group of individuals, right? This group of individuals following him, church to church, right? If you were in our Friday fellowship, I mentioned this already during our Bible study in Galatians. The group of people, the Judaizers, right? This Jewish Christian, he was so concerned about these joy stealers, grace killers, right? That they believe, yeah, they don't have any issue mentioning Jesus Christ as the Messiah. No, they don't have any problem with that. Jesus Christ as Savior, no problem. Right? Because they're already Christian. Jewish. Turned Christian. Accepting Jesus Christ as their Messiah. So they don't have any problem. Right? The problem is, right, they believe that believing in Jesus Christ for salvation was not enough. Right? You had to go through the circumcision according to the law. Right? That's why Paul considered this one perversion of the gospel. Right? That's why he clarifies. Right? Beware of the dogs, and then he clarifies. Right? Beware of evil workers. Right? Because they're perverting the gospel. Right? Because in Galatians, the theme is what? Jesus Christ is enough.
Amen.
For your salvation and my salvation.
Amen.
But for them, Jesus plus plus. Right? Plus circumcision. kosher, keeping the law and the prophets, Sabbath, right? That's why our Lord Jesus Christ said, it is finished.
Amen.
To tell a sign.
Amen.
Right? Finish. Right? Period. Finish. No need to add.
Amen.
Right? I don't need your good works. It is finished. Right? The work is finished. So, and then you have what? Beware of
circumcision.
If you're young, what's that? Circumcision. Right? It's mutilation, right? Mutilation of the flesh. Right? Because they want what? Circumcision. Right? So, this Jewish legalist, right? I mean, this way it's very hard for them to accept Paul, right? Of what Paul is preaching about grace, right? About the gospel. Because they're so focused on what I can do, not on what Jesus Christ did on the cross.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And look how interesting Paul said on verse 3. Right? On verse 3. For we are the circumcision. Right? We are the circumcision. If you are the true circumcision, he mentioned three things. Who worship by the Spirit of God? Right? And glory in Christ Jesus. And put no confidence in the flesh. Right? Three characteristics. Right? I mean, we are the circumcision. Paul is not saying just you've been spiritually circumcised. What is circumcision? Right? Cutting away of the flesh. In physical sense, right? Spiritual circumcision, cutting away of what? Old man. Dying to old life. Dying to old self. Dying to unregenerate me. Right? But Paul said, we are the true circumcision. Right? You know the Jews, they're so proud. Right? They think they have their right standing for God. Why? Because they submitted to the rites of circumcision. And they are glorying about this in the flesh. Did you see the difference, brothers and sisters? How do they glory? If we are the true circumcision, how do we glory? Right? In spirit, in Jesus Christ, right? And where they put their confidence? In the flesh. Paul said, put no confidence in the flesh. Right? That's hard. Right? Because I want to focus on me, myself, and I. Right? That's hard. And how are we going to do that? Right? I mean, it's the problem with the flesh is what? The flesh cannot repudiate the flesh, cannot reject the flesh. Right? The flesh cannot destroy the flesh. Right? The flesh is not willing to crucify itself. And yet, we were asked to crucify the flesh. Right? We were asked to crucify the flesh. So how are we going to do that? Right? Lord, we need the power of your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To crucify the flesh.
Amen.
Because I am not willing to crucify my flesh, brothers and sisters. I tell you that. You experience that. I experience that. You observe that. I observe that. Right? And we need that. The power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To crucify
Amen.
The flesh.
Amen.
Right? Lord, we want that Holy Spirit to enable us.
Amen.
Right? To enable us to crucify the flesh.
Amen.
That we can glory in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right? That's why the legalists have a very hard time understanding putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Because their mindset is all about what? What I can do, not what Jesus did. Right? That putting our faith in Him, in Christ, right? And through that faith, we can walk in fulfillment to the law. Right? And everything that law demands are fulfilled in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And through our faith in Jesus Christ, we keep the demand of the law. Right? So, that's what Paul is telling here. Right? Put no confidence in the flesh. Put faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To have the joy in the Lord. Nobody, nothing can steal your joy.
Amen.
Right? And look what he said in number 4, verse 4. Right? Though I have, I myself, right? All the reason to put confidence in the flesh. I'm paraphrasing, brothers and sisters. Right? But if any one of you have confidence, to put confidence in yourself, I have more. Right? I have more, Paul said. Right? I remember my old self. Right? With all my qualifications. Right? University professor. I always prepare my CV. Right? Why? Because somebody will ask, can you be a speaker? Where's your CV here? Can you write this article? Where's your CV here? Right? Paul said, if you have confidence in yourself, I have more. Look at verse 5. Right? First one on the list. The first four. Circumcised on the eighth day. Right? Leviticus 12, verse 3. Right?
Yes.
Under the law. Does Paul have anything to do with that? No, right? Because the first four will be what? By birth.
Amen.
Right? He has nothing to do with that. But that is possession. Right? From the people of Israel, right? Second one. Meaning descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? I will be proud, right? If I am Paul. Right? Descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. From the people of Israel. From the tribe of Benjamin. Very distinguished tribe, right? First king of Israel, right? King Saul. From the tribe of Benjamin. When they separated north and south kingdom, right? They allied with the tribe of Judah, right? The tribe of Benjamin. Very distinguished. Right? Paul's possession. By birth. What else? A Hebrew of Hebrews. What does it mean? Right? Because not all Hebrews are focused on being a Hebrew.
Amen.
Right? During Paul's time, right? They're what? Hellenistic Jews. Right? the Grecian Jews, they're focused on what? They're focused on living the life, right? The culture of Greece, right? I mean, if my favorite daughter is not here, right? And if she's here, and I said, Anna is my favorite daughter. Definitely she's good. I'm your only daughter, Dad, right? Yes, but still you're my favorite, right? Like Brother Pratsy. Who's your favorite daughter, Brother Pratsy? Right? Oh. Right? Sister Gantry, who's your favorite son? Ying Fang, right? This guy beside me is my favorite first son. And that one, I think, is there, my favorite second son. Right? So, I mean, a Hebrew of Hebrews. I cannot say, I don't think my daughter will accept she's a Filipino of Filipinos. Right? Because of she grew up here in Singapore, right? That's why there's a running joke at home. Why do we have a foreigner here at home? Anna. Right? She can't even understand our jokes, right? Filipino jokes. Know what I mean? Right? Yeah. There's a foreigner here, right? You know when we're joking about Filipino jokes? She's just going to laugh. Did you understand that? No. Why are you laughing? Because you're laughing. That's why I'm laughing too. Right? So, that's Paul. I'm Hebrew of Hebrews. What's important to Hebrew? What's everything about the Jews? And important about the Jews, I made it important in my life. That's Paul. Right? And look at the next verse, right? The next three. This is his achievement. Right? Another three. As to the law, I was a Pharisee. Right? So what? What? I was a Pharisee. Highest sect, brothers and sisters. To those who what? To those who claim to be able what? To keep the law. Right? If you are claiming that you will be able to keep the law, right? You might belong to the Pharisee. Right? There's no one above the Pharisee when it comes to the Jewish understanding of keeping the law. And that's Paul. Right? Zeal. As to zeal. Right? That's very important to a Jew. Zeal. Right? As to zeal. Persecutor of the church. Right? That's my motivation to persecute Christians. Paul said. I dragged them out from their house. I arrested them. I threw them in the jail. Oh, one thing more. I even watched Stephen die. Acts chapter 7, right? That's me. That's my zeal. Right? And as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Right? Blameless. Because they think they can perfectly keep the law. Right? And as for Paul, right? If you're going to ask Paul today, right? And during those times, Paul, do you have right standing with God? Of course. Yes, I am righteous before God. Do you want to see my CV? Right? You want to see my curriculum vitae? Right? By birth? By achievement? I have all of that. Bragging rights? I have that. I am righteous before God. based on this list. Right? And all those things that he listed, brothers and sisters, were all righteousness before God. Until he came to Christ.
Amen.
Right? Until he came to Christ. That was his righteousness before God. Right? When he came to Christ, he realized, like all of us here, we realize that no one can earn their way into God's favor. Right? So, as Paul realized that, okay, after his conversion, right? Look at verse 7. Look at what he said in verse 7. Whatever, right? Whatever gain that I had, right? I counted as loss for the sake of Christ.
Amen.
Right? That's so profound, brothers and sisters. Right? Whatever gain that I had, I counted as loss. If you look at the Greek, brothers and sisters, that gain is plural. Gains. And if you're going to look at the loss, that's singular. All of those gains that I have, I consider is what? A single loss for the sake of Christ. Right? For the sake of Christ. I consider, when I was studying this, I consider Paul as a spiritual accountant. Right? Counting and counting, accounting everything. That he has a ledger. Oh, loss, gain. Right? Oh, these are my gains. 7, right? Versus Jesus Christ. And then I realize all of these gains cross out loss for the sake of Christ. Right? For the sake of Christ.
Amen.
And then look at verse 8. Right? What he said in verse 8. It's not repetition, brother. Right? Can you read verse 8?
Yes.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I indeed count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ.
Okay, amen. Right? I have suffered the loss of all things. I count them as loss. So what's the difference? Did you notice, brothers and sisters? The difference between 7 and 8. Right? 7 is past tense. 8 is present tense. When he was writing this. Right? When he calculated everything that he considered as gain. Right? During his conversion. Right? He counted it as loss. Right? On verse 7. Counted. And then in verse 8 he says, I counted as what? Loss. He recalculated. Oh, I'm in jail. Right? I'm in jail. I think I need to recalculate everything. Right? Calculate. Oh, I count everything. I have suffered everything as loss. Right? To gain Christ. Right? Whatever that I should have, that I could be, oh, that's all loss. To gain Christ.
Amen.
Right? Did you see that difference, brother and sister? Past and the present. When he recalculate, oh, that's nothing. Right? That's nothing. Right? Because I gain Christ.
Amen.
What do you mean you gain Christ? What does it mean to gain Christ? Right? To gain Christ is what? to have that incredible benefit, brothers and sisters, of having a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Incredible benefit. Right? Words are not enough to explain all of that. Right? That incredible benefit to have a relationship with our Lord and Savior. That's gain. That's gain in Christ. Right? If you're going to ask a religious person, what's your relationship with Jesus Christ? What relationship? Right? This is the thing that I do. Right? I came from a Catholic background. Very religious. Right? We all have the saints, small and big, right? Everything, rosary, everything, right? We even watch people being crucified on the cross, right? Everything, right? Very religious. We did all of this, right? But do I have a relationship with Jesus Christ? None at all. Because we're focused in what we can do,
amen,
not what Jesus Christ did.
Amen.
Right? So what Paul is telling us, right, if our focus is in our flesh, right, it becomes a barrier, brothers and sisters. It is a barrier of our relationship, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Right? When our focus is in the flesh, what I can do? Right? When I put my confidence in the flesh, it becomes a substitute to the Lordship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right? And you know that, and I know that, that when your flesh is in charge, right, our relationship with Jesus Christ takes a backseat. Right? It takes a backseat. And that's why, brothers and sisters, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to say no to the flesh. Right? You know that? Because when the flesh is in charge, right, it tells you and me what to do, what to think, right? How to behave, right? And through the power of the Holy Spirit, right, that is in us, we can say no, right? You can no more dominate my thinking. How do I act? How do I behave? How do I react to my brothers and sisters? Right? And look at verse 10. I mean, the verse 9 is like what he said in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, right? By grace you are saved through faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about you, right? It's not about me. It's a gift of God, not of works. So no one can boast, right? Our good works. Look what Paul said, right? In verse 8, it's a dung. Right? Literally a waste. Rubbish. Right? All the flesh. Everything the flesh that dominates my time and my attention, I consider it rubbish. Paul said. Those are rubbish. So I can gain Christ. Right? That's what it's saying in verse 8. Everything is lost. Right? Everything about the flesh. Right? That tells me to do this, think of that, behave like this. Everything. That's rubbish. Done. It's a waste. Right? That's one of the reasons why, no? Paul get rid of the flesh in a sense of being dominated by the flesh. Right? I consider it rubbish. So that verse 10, look at the four things that he mentioned. Right? On verse 10. I know so that I would know. Right? I know. And what? Power of the resurrection.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Sharing about suffering.
Amen.
And become like him into his death.
Amen.
Four things. Very important. Right? I want to know him. I want to be identified with him.
Amen.
Identify, share with the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
Right? Is he talking about resurrection specifically? No. The power of the resurrection.
Amen.
That is available to you and me right now to live our lives.
Amen.
The power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave.
Amen.
It's available right now.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Right? And Paul said, I am willing to share his suffering so that I would know him. And even become like unto his death. Right? And look how he ends it on verse 11. Right? Can you read Joshua?
Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead.
Okay. In any means, brothers and sisters, that I may attain the resurrection from the dead.
Yes.
Right? Paul critics will tell you, oh look, attain, right? Look, Paul is concerned about his participation in the great resurrection. That's what Paul critics will tell us. Oh, there's a doubt in him. Right? Ah, he's doubtful about his participation. Right? The word attain in Greek, right, means arrive. Right? Arrive to this great resurrection from the dead. In any means possible that I may attain, I may arrive. What Paul is telling us? Right? Whatever means God determines, right, that I should give up this life. Whether natural death or martyrdom. Right? It doesn't matter. Right? For Paul, it doesn't matter. Right? Because I'm surrendering everything to him.
Amen.
Right? For whatever means is that, it doesn't matter to me. Right? Because I'm going to arrive in that great resurrection from the dead.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters. You know, Paul does not limit his life experiences in knowing Christ. In what I meant is, he doesn't want to know Christ only in blessing, right? In wealth, in health, in prosperity. No. Right? Paul is willing to know Christ even in hardship, in pain, in suffering, in challenges in life. Now the question for you and me, brothers and sisters, are you willing to know Christ in your pain, in your sickness, in your suffering? Because he can be known in those things, brothers and sisters. You know that. Right? When Brother Shadrach experienced what they had experienced with Sister Benita, right? Their story. I can't even imagine when he said that. I can't. Right? The pain, I can't imagine. Bear Pratt's story, right? So much suffering, so much pain. Right? But look at them. Because they knew Christ in those suffering, in those pain. Right? Baragan, right? Barzoel, everyone here, right? I mean, we shared our life experiences. That's why we were encouraged to share, to testify, right? So everyone can know. So you can strengthen, you can encourage, right? Each of every one of us. So, Paul, right? So, are we willing to know Christ in his suffering? Right? So what Paul is telling us is, I surrender all.
Amen.
Actually, that's the title of my sharing. I surrender all.
Amen.
All to Jesus.
Amen.
I surrender all.
Amen.
In closing, brothers and sisters, let us sing the first two verses of I Surrender All, and then we close. I can start. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. Lord, we surrender all.
Amen.
All to Jesus, Lord, we surrender all.
Amen.
Lord, thank you, Lord, for the ministry of your word.
Thank you, Lord,
for the enlightening.
Thank you, Lord.
For teaching us, Lord, to surrender everything to your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, words are not enough to thank you.
Amen.
For saving us.
Amen.
By your grace, we were saved through faith.
Amen.
In our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, we consider everything as rubbish. All the flesh, everything the flesh that dominates our lives, our time, our attention, we consider them as rubbish to gain Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. And we all ask this in Jesus Christ's name, our Savior, and all children of God say, Amen, Amen, Amen.